The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, or you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome back to the lecture series. This year, the topic is called The Quiet Before the Storm. And what we're trying to do is to study the towering personality of Sayyidul Shuhada. The idea is to learn relevant lessons so we can shorten the occultation. Where do we see the idea of willing surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the words of Sayyidul Shuhada? We're learning from him. How did he teach us to literally turn ourselves over to God? Let go and let God. I want to give you two examples. The first example is one that you've heard before. And we're going over these lessons that we've heard before, to be ready for our imam. Our imam was in Mecca. When he was in Mecca, he decided to leave Mecca. He got word, Yazid will try to have him killed in Mecca. He has to leave. He doesn't want his blood to defile the sanctity of Mecca. One of his family members, a close family member, came over and stopped him. So why are you going? Why are you going to Iraq? Iraq, they betrayed your father. They betrayed your brother. You're going to the people of Kufa again? How many times? The imam said, I don't want with my blood that the sanctity of the Kaaba be defiled. He said, well, go somewhere else, Yemen, anywhere. Why do you have to go to Iraq? He said, at least do this. Promise me that you'll think about it. The imam said, I'll think about it until tomorrow. The next day he came and the imam's getting ready to go, leaving, going to Iraq. He came running over. No, where are you going? He grabbed onto the bridle of the steed of the imam. Where? Why? Why to Iraq? I thought you promised you'd at least think about it. Listen to the words of Imam Hussein. Willing surrender to Allah. He said that the Prophet told me to go. The Prophet told me is this. Inna Allah sha'a an yaraka qatila. God, Allah, wants to see you killed. Allah wants to see you martyred. His brother was so upset. He said, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raja'un. He said, okay, well, if you have to go, if it's jihad fi sabilillah, but why are you going to take the women and children to Kufa? He spoke again. He said, the Prophet said, Inna Allah qad sha'a an yarahunna sabaya. God, Allah, wants to see them as prisoners. For Imam Hussein, Allah wants to see this. This is what God, once God has spoken. The Imam said, salams, and the Imam left. There's no decision now. Allah has spoken. Whatever he says, I love him. I worship him. What did he... Second lesson from Imam Hussein. What did Imam Hussein teach us about being ritualistic? Very firm on certain things. But God, the same God who said to do that ritual, said don't do this or do that. What did the Imam say about that? Imam Hussein again. He says, Inna nas abidu dunya. People are slaves of this world. Wad-deen la'qun ala al-sinatihim. The deen is a sweet thing on their tongues. Yahutunahu ma darrat ma'ayishuhum.
As long as it's going with their lifestyle, things are fine. There aren't any challenges. It doesn't go against my personal interests. At that stage, the people hold fast to the deen. And then, وَإِذَا مُحِسُوا بِالْبَلَىٰ. But then once tests come, قَلَّ الدَّيَّانُ. Suddenly, the few people who are practicing are very few. So Imam Hussein taught us that the way to Karbala is that willing surrender to Allah, whatever God says, however He says it. And otherwise, abidu dunya, a slave of this world, playing with the deen, submission. How does this play in child rearing? You and I, we have a heavy responsibility. One night, inshallah, Allah gives tawfiq, we can talk a little bit about this. Brothers and sisters, what the Urafa tell us is that your greatest amana after Quran, and of course Ahlul Bayt, are your children. Your children come into this world and they're perfect muwahideen. Our children are perfect muwahideen. The tarbiyah of the parents plays a huge role. Yes, the person chooses in the end. Nobody can make anybody a Muslim. But the tarbiyah of the parents plays a huge role. What Imam Khomeini did, may Allah have mercy on his soul, he said this, raise your children to be God-centered. The center of your children's universe is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does God say? What does God want? Raise your children to be God-centered. Not just that they're doing rituals. I want to give four examples for us to kind of go back and forth to think about this. It's going to show up. If we were successful to raise our children to be God-centered, first by our own example, it'll show up in their teenage years. Why is it that you pray? Why is it that you fast? If the child's answer from the bottom of their hearts is because that's what Allah says, whatever Allah wants. Not that I've convinced them. Why do you wear hijab? Because men will look at me lustfully. It's true. But is that the reason? Why do you make salat? I make salat. Everybody makes salat. Or is it Allah spoken? That's it. I want to give you some examples. Practical examples. Let's say you have a brother, and he's very dutiful to his parents. Alhamdulillah, good, you should. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, God said. But now it's Hajj time, and this young man has enough money to go to Hajj. In my example, his dad is not in agreement with him going to Hajj. He says, don't go this year, you can go next year. We need you for the business. That money can be used for something. But God has spoken. The same God who said, Bil walidaini ihsana, respect the father. Here he says, you do what you're supposed to do. What does my son do? If my son at this stage, he says, well, I'll just go next year. Principle isn't there. I'll give you an example for the sisters. Let's say there's a sister. Alhamdulillah, this sister grew up and in her family, she was respected. She was a good girl. She did the right things. The way that her father raised her, she could pretty much do a lot of the things that she was practicing. She was doing the right thing. She would do a lot of the things that she wanted. One of them in particular was that she could leave the house and come back, of course, at a reasonable time. Then she gets married. And now the rule is, in order to leave the home, I need the permission of my husband. And she's like, no, that don't make sense. That's extreme. The same God who said, now he's saying, I'll give you another example. For men in Islam, paying the dowry is wajib. God says, Allah said, dowry's wajib. So now what happens? Sometimes, I don't know the customs over here, in some cultures, the man will pay a certain amount now and he'll pay a certain amount later. The time has come for that second amount. His wife goes over and she says, well, alhamdulillah, things are going well now. Can I get my dowry? The look on the husband's face says, I'm going to give you a divorce, 3 talaq right now. But why? God!
We say you live forever in our hearts and in our minds.
Oh, we say you live forever
in our hearts and in our minds. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember.
To Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call the back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.